In today's Mishnah, we learn the 7th and 8th Mishnah from the 13th Parak Masechta Zvachim. And we've been learning about the prohibition of both slaughtering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash and offering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. And we've seen the various debates regarding particular cases. In this Mishnah, we add a different level of complexity. And that is because we're going to be dealing with bird offerings. The reason why this is going to be different to dealing with animal offerings is that when it comes to animal offerings, whether it's a korban or whether it's just an animal that one wants to slaughter for their own consumption, in both cases, the animal is slaughtered by way of shechita, where the knife is placed to the front of the neck. However, when it comes to a bird offering, if you remember, the way the korban is offered, if it's a bird offering inside the Beit HaMikdash, is not the normal form of shechita, but rather through the process of milika, where the kohen uses his thumbnail and he severs the bird at the back of the neck. And if you recall, in normal circumstances, that would render this bird not kosher, render it a nevela. It's only permitted, and meaning that's actually the only way it can be done, in the context of a korban. So the Mishnah says, "Hamoleketa of mi bifnim." If someone performs melika on this bird offering inside the azara, inside the Beit HaMikdash, as is required, ve'ela b'chutz, and then takes it outside, he would be chayav, he would violate the prohibition of offering this korban outside. No surprises there. What happens if malak b'chutz ve'ela b'chutz? What happens if this person took the bird offering and performed melika outside in order to kill this bird, and then offered it outside on a small mizbeach or a stone, according to the other opinion? So Mishnah says, in that situation, he would be patur. Why? That is because when it comes to slaughtering a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, meaning the prohibition only applies when it says asher yishchat, meaning when the shchita is performed and not by way of melika. That's point number one. So he's exempt from slaughtering this animal outside because he didn't use shchita, he used melika. And secondly, what about the fact he offered it? Well, since there's no melika outside the Beit HaMikdash, by doing melika on this korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, he's rendered it a nevela, and therefore when he offers it, or attempts to offer it as a korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, he'd be offering a nevela, he wouldn't be offering a korban, and therefore it would be exempt from the prohibition of offering outside the Beit HaMikdash. So he's exempt on both these prohibitions. What happens now to Hashochetata of Bifnim ve'ela b'chutz? What if he took a knife and slaughtered this bird as one would normally slaughter a bird, but this is a bird offering inside the Beit HaMikdash, and then he took it outside and offered it outside? Once again, he would be exempt on offering this animal outside. Why? Because since this bird, he performed shchita and not melika as required, this bird offering became pasul, it became invalid, and therefore one would not violate the prohibition of offering the korban outside. Next, shachat b'chutz ve'ela b'chutz. What happens now if you take this bird outside and you perform both regular shchita and then offer it outside the Beit HaMikdash? In that situation, he would be chayav. He would violate both his prohibition on slaughtering this korban outside, as the pasuk specifically state, or asher yishchat, meaning it also includes a bird offering, and also then offering this korban outside the Beit HaMikdash as well. The Mishnah then comments, Nimtza derech hechshar to mivifnim, p'turo mibachutz, and derech hechshar to bachutz, which should actually be derech chiyuvo, p'turo bifnim, which means that we find that there's an inverse relationship between what happened inside and outside the Beit HaMikdash. We find that the way you would make this korban valid inside the Beit HaMikdash, the way you'd kill it by way of melika, if you perform that outside, it would be p'turo bachutz, it would be exempt. And similarly, derech hechshero bachutz, meaning the shrita, where you'd be liable for killing this or slaughtering this bird offering outside, if you performed that inside and then took the animal outside, p'turo bibifnim, it would be patur. Rabbi Shimon, however, says as follows, kol shechayvim alav bachutz, chayvim akotze bo bifnim. What is this referring to? The Gemara says we have to fill in the blanks in this Mishnah a little bit. They're arguing about a different case. The case is as follows. If someone slaughters a regular korban at night inside and then takes it outside and offers it outside the Beit HaMikdash, we say he'd be exempt. Why? Because a korban is not meant to be slaughtered inside the Beit HaMikdash at night time. That's not the valid time to do so. However, if you took this animal and did shchita outside the Beit HaMikdash and then offered it outside the Beit HaMikdash, you would have violated both prohibitions. Why? Because shchita, regular slaughter, is valid any time of day outside the Beit HaMikdash. So Rabbi Shimon reflects on that and says, no, kol shechavim alav b'chutz, chavim alav kiyotzeh b'bifnim, meaning he argues and says, yes, I agree with you if you slaughter this animal at night, a regular animal korban, not a bird, and then offer it, you'd be liable to both prohibitions. But since you'd be liable in that context, he says as well that, to finish the sentence, she'alal b'chutz, if you then, what happens is you shechted this korban inside at night time, and then offered it outside, you would be chayev as well, chayev for offering this korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. In other words, this particular case, according to Rabbi Shimon, since the execution, the method that one would be liable outside applies with shechita both a day and night, if someone then performs shechita at night time on a korban inside the azara, inside the temple courtyard, and then took it outside, he would likewise be liable for offering this korban outside the Beit HaMikdash, despite the fact that the korban having been slaughtered at night time inside would not be a valid korban. So the only situation you find that there's a difference between whether this action was performed inside and outside, meaning the slaughter of the animal, that's chutz min ha-shochet bifnim u'ma'aleh b'chutz. That's aside from the first case we talked about, where someone shechts a bird offering, meaning he doesn't do malika, he uses a knife and slaughters it inside, in that situation he would agree that if you took it outside, it would be patur for offering this outside because the malika process wasn't performed inside the Beit HaMikdash. Let's now learn the 8th Mishnah. Hachatat shekibel dama b'kos echad natan b'chutz v'chazar v'natan bifnim. If someone collected the blood from a chatat offering. It's importantly here, the Gemara explains we're dealing with one of the chatat offerings, not a regular chatat, but where the blood is sprinkled inside the Beit HaMikdash. And what did he do? The blood's all collected in one cup. He placed some of the blood outside and then placed the blood and repeated it inside, or did it the other way around. He went inside the actual hecha where he's meant to do it and then went and did the sprinkling of the blood outside, completely outside the Beis HaMikdash. Specifically here, he's poured the shirayim outside. The remainder, we say in that situation, be chayev. And that's because this is according to the opinion of Rebbe Nechemiah, it's for who this mission is quite important for. If you recall, Rebbe Nechemiah was of the opinion that since the shirayim, the remaining remainder of the blood from the korban chatat, whose blood is meant to be offered inside the heichal, since the remainder must be poured out to the base of the mizbeach in the temple courtyard, and if you do not do so, it ruins the process. It's ma'akev, as they say. Consequently, since that's a critical process, therefore, if you place the blood first inside and the remainder is poured outside, well, it was meant to be placed inside, therefore you violate the prohibition. And that's really recapping something we've learned previously within the opinion of Rebbe Nechemiah. Why? And the Mishnah says, Shukularo ra'ui lavo bifnim, because all of it's meant to be offered within the temple courtyard, including the remainder, like I've explained. Let's continue now. Kibel dema bishneko, so what happens if you collect the blood in two cups? Natan shneim bifnim, if both blood is used inside, well, then you'd be patur. Well, obviously, because you're not doing anything outside, that's miuteret, that's superfluous. However, what happens shneim bachutz? What if both cups were offered outside? Then clearly you'd be chayev as well. Two prohibitions will have been violated, such that if you did the first cup by mistake, and then realized it was a mistake, and then forgot about the second cup, and offered that outside as well, then he'd be liable to bring two sin offerings. What happens if he did chad bifnim v'chad b'chutz? In other words, the first cup he performed it properly, and then the second cup he took outside. In that situation, that would be patur, would be exempt for offering that blood outside, on a mizbeach outside, because once the first blood, the cup, has been offered, the remainder is what's called nidche. It's completely rejected, and it's not meant to be used at all, and meant to be poured down the river. And since it's completely rejected, offering that blood, that second cup outside, one will not have violated the prohibition. Echad b'chutz v'chad b'fnim, what if it was the other way around? He first offered a cup outside, meaning outside the Beit HaMikdash, and the second cup he performed inside the Heichal. We say, chayev alachitzun, the first cup wasn't rejected yet, nothing's been performed, so he'd be violated prohibition for offering the blood outside. And the pnimi, the second cup now, also wasn't rejected by the fact one cup has become pasul, and that blood, will therefore, when performed properly, would atone, meaning would satisfy the requirements of this korban. L'maha davar domer, the Mishnah says, well, I've got a parallel case for you. That is, l'mafrish chatat v'avda v'yifrish acher tachtea v'achachat nimitza rishon. The parallel case is someone set aside a korban for a regular sin offering, and then he lost it. So he separated another replacement, and then he found both. So he's got both of them to be used at his disposal. Mishnah says, shachat shneim bifnim, if he slaughtered both inside the Beit HaMikdash, well, he'd be exempt, because slaughtering them both in Beis HaMikdash, they're both korbanot, there's nothing wrong there. However, shachat shteim b'chutz, slaughter both outside, then we'd be chayiv, liable by the prohibition of slaughtering korbanot outside the Beit HaMikdash. achad bifnim v'achad bachutz. If you slaughter one inside first and then slaughter the one outside, we say patur. Why? Because once the first one has been shechted inside, an offer really, but the second one is defined what's called chatat shnitkapu ba'aleha ba'acheret. It becomes a sin offering that is no longer needed because the owner has already been atoned for with a different korban. And therefore, since the status of such a korban is meant to be left to die and cannot be offered, that is why if someone takes an animal and offers that outside, they'd be exempt. What happens achad b'chutz v'achad bifnim? If one was slaughtered outside first and then the second one was slaughtered inside, we say chayev ala chitzona. The first korban was still fit for offering. He's liable for violating his prohibition of offering outside. And the second one, well, has achieved its purpose. It atones for the owner for the original sin it was brought. That's apanim mechaperet. Just one point to go back on, just the situation where we said achat bifnim v'achat b'chutz, where one was shechted first inside and then followed by the one outside, we said the outside one is already considered chatat shnit kapu ba'aleha. It's as if it's already considered as if the owner has already been atoned for with the first korban and the second one is meant to be left to die. Kati seems to suggest this is already from the moment it was slaughtered, even if the rest of the process hasn't been performed. I'll leave that for further study, because I seem to suggest when I was first reading it, my first thought was, I mean, it was already, the process was already completed, but it sounds like the read from the point of Shechita. That's just in brackets. Let's just finish the Mishnah now. Mishnah says, Keshem shedam poter et basara, kach poter et basar chaverta. The way Kati explains it here is, the korban chatat has an isur of mi'ilah, meaning ones are not allowed to use it for their own purposes, or mundane purposes, and if they do so, they violate the prohibition of using a korban for their own purposes. Now, what the Mishnah is saying here is now is that if both these korbanot chatat were slaughtered, and then the blood from one was offered on the Mizbeach, for the korban for which that blood came from, clearly Isur Me'ilah is now removed because the blood's reached the Mizbeach, and from that point, the meat can already be consumed by the Kohanim, and therefore the Isur Me'ilah no longer applies. What's interesting, what the Mishnah is telling now is, but it also affects the other korban as well. Meaning, once the blood hits Mizbeach, the Isur Me'il is also removed from this other korban as well. Kati explains that is despite the fact that the second one is considered chatat shenitcharpu ba'aleha, that since the second korban now is considered one that no longer has a purpose because the owner has already been atoned for with a different korban, it has a status that has to be left to die. And this korban, despite the fact that it has to be left to die, and you're not, meaning one's prohibited from gaining benefit from it, still the issue of Me'ilah no longer applies to it. That's why the blood from the first korban can affect and remove the prohibition of Me'ilah from the second one of these two chatot really being brought for the one sin, or one of which are going to be brought for the one sin. Those are Mishnah today.